Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Do you know how close I came to doing this podcast from the creek, standing in the creek where Pentecost Sunday, just a few days removed now, but I was so close to doing this podcast, just simply standing in the creek so you could listen to the running water. Now I'm still outside and you might hear a little bit of gust of wind, which is going to be good for this podcast. You might hear a few birds, maybe a distant wind chime. But I hope and pray on this morning, on this afternoon, or on this evening, that you are filled to the measure of the Holy Spirit, and that you indeed are well. Love and appreciate you guys, and welcome to the Person and Power podcast once again. Yes, we are just a few days removed from a glorious day called Pentecost. The weather was perfect. Perfect, I say, because I'm still trying to convince myself, still trying to warm up. I think it was the coldest Pentecost I've ever had as far as standing in a creek, the water rising as much as I think a foot in that time. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, the water was rising. There were huge logs coming down. I was trying to save people from the logs as I was baptizing them. I was baptizing them with my right hand, and I was moving huge telephone pole-sized logs with my left hand just to save the lives of those people that were being baptized. I think it was 2,700 that were baptized that day. The creek rose about 4 feet in about one hour. I know I'm pretty sure I saw an alligator swim past at one point, so then I had to be conscious of that. okay, maybe not, but it was an incredible day. We had 25 plus, I've lost count, but 20 plus baptisms. Each and every one of them so unique and so special, and Pastor Michael Walker was in the water with me, along with a couple of the guys, Larry Snellenberger and Tim Badle. But Michael was right there with me, and I love what he said. He said each one was so genuine and so authentic and so sincere, and that's what I find almost all the time. I mean, there's a few that are in there, and you kind of say, well, do I really want to baptize them? Do I really want to help them remember their baptism? Is this really the right moment? And then you realize you just have to trust God. You have to trust the Holy Spirit with them, and you go. And it was just an amazing day. The uniqueness of it started. It was clear for the first. Well, clear is an exaggeration. It was cloudy and a little, just really light sprinkled for the first maybe 45 minutes. Then it started raining. And then it started raining. My gosh, I kept thinking, it can't rain harder, can it? And the answer to every one of those questions was, yes, it can. Here, let me show you. It's like, and the people on the bank just stood up there. And I know it was chilly up there, but I'm going to tell you, I don't remember too many baptisms. Jordan River baptisms. Some of you were in the Jordan River with me, and I've been blessed to be in the Jordan River several times and helping baptize people and helping people remember their baptisms. But I'm telling you, I've never been in water so cold except for that of the Jordan River. This was at least the second coldest water I've ever been in, and that was just this past Sunday. And 60 degrees, 64 degrees, rainy, cloudy. It had been raining all week long, if you remember, like not just a little bit of rain, torrential rains and flood water rains and flood watches and flood warnings. And then I'm standing there at least high thigh to waist deep in current. My calves were sore coming out 3.5 hours, 4 hours later almost, because you had to just like grip. You had to almost like I was in a squat position, if you will, like almost a quasi squat position the entire time. And the calves were sore from being just again, and I know I've got a couple of bruises from limbs and different things that hit me under the water. But it was just, I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I guarantee you, I was shivering a couple of times as I was baptizing folk. And it was just an incredible day. I've shared this before on the Devoted video, if you were watching that, but just loved all the variety of the baptisms, the young, the older, the remembrances, the brand new first time, 23-year-old Caden, C-A-D-E-N. And I say his first name because he gave it to me there, and it's a public affirmation, right? But he had never been to Firmer Chapel. This is his first Sunday to ever visit the church. First Sunday ever at Firmer Chapel. It happened to be Pentecost when everybody's wearing red. And we've got meals left and right because we had, thanks to Amanda Lasley and her crew, we had breakfast casseroles in between. We had pulled pork afterward. And so we had breakfast, we had lunch, we had all that covered. And it was just, and yet all that going on, he shows up. He's never been baptized. He just felt like the Lord was convicting him the entire time, saying he needed to get his life right. I think he's got a young daughter and wanted to make sure he's right for his daughter and all that. And so he's one of the last baptisms we did. And it just represented the uniqueness. Each one was a story. Each one had its own, each one had its own unique heart behind it. And loved watching the faces. If I've ever asked once, I've asked a thousand times, especially on Sunday. Now, you don't have a heart condition, do you? For the first time in a long time, because usually in that little creek, we've shoveled out an area all the way down to creek rock, to creek bed. And it's flat where we baptize, but a lot of times we have to have people sit down first. Then it's up to their waist, you know, when they're sitting down. And then we take them in, right? Sometimes it's up to their mid-chest. But here, the water was already, you couldn't have anyone sit down. We had no one sit down. We simply just took you into the water and took you back out. The current was so strong that to bring your feet back to stand up sometimes proved a little difficult. So we thought we might lose a few people and have to pick them up in Louisiana. So wherever this creek led into a river would lead and end. But they'd find a creek bank or a river bank or a tree to grab onto somewhere, or a tugboat or a barge. It was unique. And I know I've used that word a few times, but it was just an amazing day. I know I've posted that on Facebook and sent it to some folk, and just want to celebrate the fact that this is why we love Pentecost here at Firmer Chapel. This is why it's my favorite holiday of the year. But also, it's the season of Pentecost. So here we are in the book of Acts. We'll be in the book of Acts for a while, walking through it, talking through it, podcasting our way through it. I am preaching my way through the book of Acts as well. Very different messages. Starting this Sunday, brand new sermon series this Sunday called Marks of the Church. What are the seven main marks of the church? We get that from the last chapter, the last little bit of chapter 2 in Acts. Then we'll look at, after the marks of the church, we're going to look at mission of the church, where we do a deep dive into the Gentile Pentecost. Yep, there were two Pentecosts, and one was the Jewish Pentecost, Acts 2, and one was the Gentile Pentecost in Acts 10. And then we'll look at the marks of members, or marks of the members of the church. What should we be? Who should we be? What should we reflect? What quality should we possess as members? So all three of those sermon series, Shalosh, anyone? You'll hear another Shalosh here in just a few minutes. But all three of those will take us all the way to goodness. Probably almost Advent. It will take us several weeks to get through all that. So we'll be in the book of Acts for a while. Podcast will be in the book of Acts for a while. It's an important book, just like they all are. But here we are in the season of Pentecost. Pentecost is not a day. For us, the season of baptism opens on Pentecost. And Pentecost opens the season, but we also continue baptisms all throughout the summer into the fall. And most of those are in the creek. Most of those, not all of them, but most of those are in the creek. We already have another baptism planned for next Sunday. Who knows about this Sunday? So yeah, it is good. And, it is good and right to celebrate Pentecost equal. Come on. Somebody say equal again. Somebody say it one more time. Equal to Christmas and Easter. Let me pray. Lord, I love you so much. I thank you and praise you for this podcast as we jump into Acts 2 again, as we look at the moment of Pentecost, the outpouring. But the outpouring leads to a season. The outpouring does not just a one-time make, right? It is not a one-time and done event. It is something that is supposed to started something, initiated something, inflamed something, and now continues for the rest of our days. And so may we walk in Pentecost for the rest of our lives. And as we walk in Pentecost, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to encourage us and bless us. Lord, we love you oh so much, and ask and pray that you would continue to use us, bless us. I do pray, Lord, that you would continue to fill us with your Spirit. May we continue to honor the season of Pentecost beautifully and well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let me just read the passage of Scripture that I want to kind of focus on. It's 5 through 13. I'm going to read 1 through 4 just to set it up, but 5 through 13 are the passages of Scripture that I want to look at specifically for this podcast. So here it is, the story of Pentecost once again. I am reading from the NIV. Yep, NIV. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So that's the preamble. Okay, that's we know the story, kind of. I don't know if we know the story very well. It is interesting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. It kind of seems like that the tongues of fire came down then in a group, almost like they all came down in this group. This collection of tongues, then each one of them separated. That's what it says. They all seem what looked to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So, but look at this in verses 5 through 13. All right, 5 through 13 says this. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. The reason is because it was the festival of Shavuot, the festival of weeks. And so literally thousands upon thousands. There was some understanding of 300,000 people there. So 300,000 people were probably in the city of Jerusalem. I've said this before. That's important because of 300,000 people, remember how many actually were saved that day. We'll come to that in just a moment. But remember, 300,000 people were probably estimated to be in the city. Now, they're staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews, and from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, what sound? What was the sound? What was the sound of the violent wind? Well, this violent wind, if you look at the Greek, and also if you understand just context and you begin to kind of understand even church history, it was basically a hurricane type of wind. It sounded like if you think of the most intense wind gust you've ever heard. Some of us have been, unfortunately, traumatically maybe, involved with tornadoes. And kind of hear, you know, that sound of a tornado, the train, almost like a low train whistle, or the sound of this impending damage coming. You multiply that to this. This is a supernatural wind. This is a divine wind. This is not just the wind of the sound of the wind you hear every now and then on a podcast. I'm glad you hear it. I hope you do hear the wind blowing through the podcast a little bit, just to kind of set the tone, right? And have the background for it. But this is something completely different. This is something that was so significant that when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Now, one passage would say everyone came running. I don't think all 300,000 came running. Now, I will say that at some point, this scene shifts from an upper room to the temple. They are now at the temple where they are surrounded by thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I can almost guarantee it probably that many, if not all, heard this sound. So now, not everyone came a running, but when they heard this sound, this hurricane-like wind, all right, that came running, and they came together in bewilderment. Look at these words, bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Okay, utterly amazed. Verse 7. Utterly amazed. Look at that first word, amazed. Somebody say amazed. Kind of goes with bewildered, but amazed. They ask, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Meaning they're not educated, meaning they didn't take Rosetta Stone as a language class. They're not bilingual. But here, they says, but then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Now, I want to stop there for just a second. I want to focus on the word amazed. I'm going to give you three words. So today is another Shalosh podcast. Last week was the mystery, right? The marvel and the majesty of Pentecost. The mystery, the marvel, and majesty of Pentecost. Today, I'm going to give you the three words. Amazed, perplexed, and critical. Amazed, perplexed, and critical. This is what you see in a very few short verses at the very beginning of Pentecost. As Pentecost happens, you see amazed, you see perplexed. Look at verse 10, verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Now, immediately, verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them, or it would say was critical of them, and said, they have had too much wine, or they're drunk. So this moment of time where they are now being critical of this moment. So they are being critical of this moment that is of Pentecost. So they were amazed first, they were perplexed, and now they are critical. Okay? And so this is going to be the rhythm of the book of Acts. You're going to see this in the early church. And there's this rhythm of amazement, perplexity, and criticalness. You'll see this rhythm continue. And this rhythm is something that I think we need to understand even today as believers, Spirit-filled believers, that we've got to understand that this is the rhythm of our lives. And that's why I want to just focus on today is this rhythm of amazement, this rhythm of perplexity, and this rhythm of being critical. Because it actually leads to something really good. All right. So this amazement, of course, there's amazement. There's amazement because this wind is a hurricane type of wind. This wind is literally almost blowing the house down, if you will. This wind is literally this hurricane force wind, and there's amazement. And I think there is a sense. I would believe that there's a sense that people believe that this was of a supernatural nature. That this was actually divine. This was not just simply a normal wind. It just couldn't have been this. It shook the house basically. I mean, it said, and it filled the whole house. The filling was probably a shaking, and as it filled them, they were again. Then they saw the tongues. The people outside of the upper room did not see the tongues. They just heard the tongues. But even the hearing of the different tongues was amazement. Again, verse 7, utterly amazed, not just somewhat amazed. I always go back to a verse in later on in the book of Acts that Paul is doing unusual miracles. I love that phrase. Aren't all miracles unusual? Apparently not. Apparently there's some normal miracles out there. Because how is amazement different than utterly amazed? I think that we can understand that this is like this divine kind of this moment. That, and I think there's this sense of this, what is going on? I want to read to you something from a book I've been reading from G. Campbell Morgan. So again, I attribute the quote to him, but I want you to just listen to this and just this sense of again this understanding of amazement, specifically amazement. What was this amazement? It was mental arrest, not yet illumination. They did not know the meaning of what they heard and saw, but they wondered. Out of wonder, worship is born. Where wonder ceases, worship ceases. Come on, wonder is not worship. But it is the first movement toward worship. For the moment, Jerusalem was compelled to turn from other interests to attend to this matter. It was only a beginning, but it was a beginning. For a brief hour or two at least, men left the schools and their disputations and their quarrelings, forgot their differences, united in common amazement. in the presence of something in their midst for which they could not account. The amazement was mental arrest, a compulsion laid upon the men of a city to turn from all other matters in wonder. As they listened, they were not only amazed, now they became perplexed. If amazement is mental arrest, then perplexity is mental defeat, not yet illumination. The amazement meant they did not know. Listen, perplexity meant they knew they did not know. I like that. Amazement is, I don't know what's going on. Perplexity is, I know now that I don't know what's going on and it's bothering me. There is no moment more hopeful. I love this. There is no moment more hopeful to an intellectual soul than that in which it comes to the point of known ignorance. This is the opportunity for discovery. I love that. So when you know that you don't know something, I think that's perplexity. And so here's what sets up Peter's sermon. So there's this big word I'm going to give you here in just a moment. It's called prophecy. Peter preaches. He preaches, he prophesies, he does a little bit of both. But he preaches. And at the end of the sermon, right? He preaches a long sermon. Don't you dare diss long sermons no more. He preaches a long sermon. And at the end of it, something amazing happens. What happens? You know the end of the story. 3,000 come to Christ. Now, go back to how many people were in the city of Jerusalem, we believe. We believe 300,000 were there. 3,000 is what? 1%. 1% of the people who heard responded. Now, 3,000 is a good day for any pastor. But come on, 1%? That's pretty lousy. But guess what? There's a lot of the third part that we're going to talk about. There's the criticalness, right? There's that criticism. Some, however, made fun of them and said they have too much wine. So some were critical. So they went from amazement, wow, to perplexity. Okay, what's going on? I don't understand. And it bothers me. Then, I don't think this is of God. Now there's criticism. Or at least there's some sense of critical thinking, right? And I just want us to understand that those three things are going to be common in the life of a Christian. Those three things I think are common and should be common in the life of the church. If they're, listen. If we see this in the book of Acts, if we see this at the moment of Pentecost, these are the very first moments of Pentecost. If we see these three things here, why shouldn't we expect these three things all the days of our lives as Christians and the body of believers called the Church of Jesus Christ? I want to read one last quote from G. Campbell Morgan, and I want to make this final point. But listen to this: amazement, perplexity, criticism. These were the effects produced by both the wind and the tongues. God has many methods of producing these effects, but the real value of the method which startles is always that of the effect it produces and of the opportunity it creates for preaching and prophesying. If these impressions are not produced, listen to me. If these impressions are not produced, amazement, perplexity, criticism, then is because the church is not spirit-filled. If these impressions are not produced, it is because the church is not spirit-filled. Is the church of God amazing the city? Is the church of God perplexing the city? And is the church of God making the city criticize? The trouble too often is that the world is not at all amazed, not at all perplexed, and not at all critical. Because there's nothing to amaze, nothing to perplex, and nothing at all critical. Wow. The work of the church is to be spirit-filled and amaze the city, perplex the city, and make the city listen. Are we doing it? Thank God, yes, sometimes. But help us, God, to do it all the time. Oh, my gosh. The work of Pentecost, we see a threefold work. We as spirit-filled Christians should be amazing people. We as spirit-filled people should be perplexing people. We as spirit-filled Christians should even bring about criticism, and that doesn't necessarily be negative all the time. It just means questions like, what's happening? That can't be it, right? So because if there's amazement that leads to perplexity, and perplexity leads to criticism, then there's questions. And like G. Campbell Morgan said, there's now this place of discovery. Now there's a place of people wanting to say, what's going on? And now we can have the answer. And that sets the stage for prophesying. It sets the stage for preaching. Let me be sure and clear on prophesying. Prophesying is not necessarily telling of the future or speaking of something unknown, but it is indeed speaking for God, speaking the heart of God to the people of God at the right time of God, exactly what needs to be heard. It is speaking on behalf of the Spirit that lives within us, who lives within us and who's using us to speak the very things of God so people can hear them. Are we amazing people with our Christian lives? Are people even perplexed? Remember, amazement is wow. Perplexity is, I wonder how that's happening. And then criticism is, that can't be, right? I mean, I'm going to try to come up with another example. I'm going to come up with another reason. Maybe they were drunk. Now that leads them to this wanting to know what's going on. And that puts us as Spirit-filled Christians and the church in a pristine prime position to point to the Holy Spirit of a living and loving God. Come on. I pray that there is amazement, bewilderment, and yes, even criticism surrounding your life as a Spirit-filled Christian in this season of Pentecost. Be blessed.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimer's Chapel, a country church by a creek reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.